Well, let's open our Bibles this morning for those visiting. If you didn't bring a Bible, look on, if you can, with someone. And we are going to read, I'm going to read this morning, we're all going to read together, John chapter 3 and verses 14 through 18 this morning. And we're going to read it out loud together. It's good to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let's begin reading. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I like to read Psalm 119, 130. It says, the entrance of his word does what? Brings light, and it gives what? Understanding unto who? The simple. So today, as we receive his word and the word is unfolded, it brings light. And of course, we've shared, you are responsible. You're not responsible for something that you don't know. God's not holding us responsible for something that we don't know. He's holding us responsible for the light that we have, the light that we understand, or we have revelation in, or light in. And it says, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. You can't have faith for something that you don't know. So you have to walk in the light that you have. And one of the things we just shared in the last lesson was that, how are we going to know what the will of God is? How are we going to know that? Everybody home today? You've been here, you sleep. In other words, you know the will of God from what? The Word of God. You can't base faith on someone's experience. And I think I shared that. Someone's experience as far as them being healed or delivered or getting a victory in a particular area, if they've gotten it by faith and they share that with us for our benefit, I may be encouraged, I may be excited and say, praise God, he did it for him, he'll do it for me. But faith does not come from any place other than the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Where are we going to find out what the will of God is? In the Word of God. How are we going to have faith for something? In and through the Word of God. You cannot get faith, the God kind of faith, you cannot get from my personal experiences and victories. You can get excited. You can shout. But you cannot get the God kind of faith from my personal experience. The only way that you're going to get the God kind of faith is from his word. And that's the only place that you're going to get and find out what his will is. Because people do it all the time. If you're going to base faith in God and his will based on someone's experience, then that's walking by sight, not by faith. Because you're going to see something that someone did or got, and you're going to say, praise God. Well, what happens if they didn't? And then you'll say, well, you know, maybe it wasn't God's will. See, so you're basing your faith on something that you see. And we already know that that's not true. We're not to walk by sight, but we're to walk by faith. Now, faith does have a sight. We can see into what? So sight comes, when we say sight, sight comes from revelation. And the Holy Ghost will unfold and reveal something to you. And we all say, how many have heard say, I see it. Where is it? You didn't see it, but you saw something in the Word of God that was what? Unfolded and revealed. So faith has a sight, you see. And if you don't see it yet, then you need to go back and see, am I walking in faith, or is it just something that I'm mentally grasping? You see, you understand by that? You understand what I mean by that, right? I'm just mentally assenting to something. I don't yet see it. And someone who sees, and every one of us, every single one of us who's read the Bible, at some point they're reading along and they go, wow, I never saw that. Well, that to you is something that has just been revealed. So something that's been revealed, you can have faith for. You can have faith in that area. See, it's not a mystery. It's not something very obscure. The minute you see something, you can do it. Now it's just a choice because you can see it. Where did you see it? You saw it down here. And it was illumined. The spirit man is the, we call it the control center. It's the receiving place, because why? God's in here. He's in our spirit, and we receive things in our spirit. It's illuminated, and then we see it what? In our soulish area. You see? So when we see something, then that's when we're to do something. And let me just share a few scriptures here this morning before we get started. Let's go over to Psalm 23. These two scriptures were very strong in my heart this morning and yesterday, and I wanted to just, let's look at this just for a moment before we start the lesson. And let's look at Psalm 23, and let's look at verse 1. I'll tell you, this is enough to get excited about right here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That word, if you look that up, it just means that you don't lack anything. You don't have a need for anything. And if you look up in a number of translations, that's just exactly what it says. The New Living says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. He's a good shepherd. He supplies his sheep. The God's Word translation says, I am never in need. I am never in need. New Century, I have everything I need. The NIV, I shall not be in want. I like the Message. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. God, my shepherd, I don't need a ting. You know, we talk about things. I don't need a thing. Young's literal translation, which is a very accurate translation, a psalm of David. Jehovah is my shepherd. I do not lack. I don't lack. I don't have a want. I don't need anything. The Good News Translation. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I have everything I need. The Bible in basic English. The Lord takes care of his sheep. That's what it says. I like that. The Lord takes care of me as his sheep. I will not be without any good thing. See? And what does the scripture also say? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't lack anything. And I shared on Wednesday the seed of God's word. God's word is the incorruptible seed. And that seed cannot be hindered from what it's designed to do by your adversary, the devil, unless you allow him. I believe that's what the scripture says in Isaiah. Why don't you turn over there and look at that for a moment? Isaiah, I believe it's 55, I think. 55. Let's take a look at this a moment. Let's look at verse 8 through 11. Let's remind ourselves of what the scripture says. It says Isaiah 55. Let's look at verse 8. For my thoughts, talking about God's word, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but does what? Watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now look at the next verse. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or empty, but it shall accomplish. I like that. That's what I was looking at. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So, if you get God's word planted in your heart, it must, and if it's watered, it shall not return to him empty. It shall produce, and it cannot be stopped in the ground, in the soil, in our hearts, by your adversary. It cannot. Say it cannot. The seed of God's word cannot be altered or corrupted or destroyed or torn up unless you let him. Unless you let him. And that's where the battle is. The battle starts in the mind, and then we start looking, and we walk by sight instead of faith, faith in God's promises. He didn't say, he said, it shall come to pass. It didn't say it was going to happen in a minute, in a second, in a week. Some things may take time. Doesn't seed take time to germinate and to bud and to come forth? Yes, it does. And we need to have as much faith in the seed and it bringing to pass as we do other things. So unless we allow the devil into our thinking and we start to do what? Say something. and we plant some other kind of seed and we tear it up and we say, it's not working. It's not working. Then you are corrupting the seed. You're not watering it with God's word, with his promises. And so that to me is exciting because nothing is impossible to those who do what?
Believe.
Believe what? Believe in the will of God. Believe in his word. Believe in his promises. Nothing is impossible. That means I don't care what you find yourself in, what situation you find yourself in. If you will believe God's word and plant the seed in your heart, it shall produce. It has to. It must. That's what God's word said. It will not return to him void, empty. God's a God that desires fruit and production. Let's turn over just for a moment, trying to get to the lesson here, but let's go to verse chapter 15 in John. And let's look at the first few verses of the book of John. Let's just read this for a moment. I think sometimes if we don't feed on the Word of God and we remind ourselves, we can easily find ourselves looking at what we see. And we start looking at and listening to what the doctor may say or what our bank account says or what the job is saying or doesn't say or the living conditions that we're in. Don't have two nickels to rub together. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. Nothing. No thing. So you may have nothing, but he says there is nothing that's impossible. John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, that's the first place to be, is a branch in the vine. And if you're his sheep, then you are a branch in the vine. That beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he does what? He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now look, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same might bring forth more fruit. No, it says you shall, you will. It says here, it's implied, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words, not what you see, not what you're experiencing. What does it say? If his words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That sounds like nothing's impossible to those who believe. That's what it sounds like to me. Nothing is impossible. Amen. So it's important to stay in the vine and to do what? Let his words do what? Abide in you. That means to get down, take root, and you begin to speak that, not what you see and experience. And we all have been there. Every one of us have gotten a little too close to the circumstances and let the circumstances begin to reign in our mouths. You see. But we need to let His words reign in our heart and in our words and in our speech. Because one of the things that you see in the life of Jesus, in His ministry, is you saw people that when they wanted something, when it was in their heart, they chased the Master down. They chased Him down. I'm going to get that. I'm convinced He has what I need. And who did they go to? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. They chased down the Word. And they took or received by faith what was being offered. So let's take a moment. Let's go over to 2 Timothy. Just for a moment. Let's look at 2 Timothy. You know this scripture. Chapter 1 and verse 7. Chapter 1 and verse 7. This is really stirring in my heart, this right now. If I holler or shout, just say it's all right. Let's anybody there? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, when you look at that, it would do you good, and I'm sure some of you have more modern translations with you. I'm reading from the King James Version. But if you read in the modern translations, the spirit of fear is referred to as the spirit of what? Timidity. Timidity. You can't receive anything from God being timid. You can't receive a thing from God sitting down and go, oh, well, and if He wants to. No, you need to take something by faith. And faith is not timid. Faith speaks up and voices the word of faith. Is that not true? They did it during Jesus' time. They would sit by and they'd say, hush, 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 hush. And they'd shout, Jesus! And they'd say, be still. Faith stands up and is bold. Faith takes what? What it knows to be the will of God. Faith takes that which God has already said, it's yours. Amen. Faith is not timid. And some of us, and I include myself in this, have been just a little bit too timid taking things that have already been paid for by the sacrifice of Jesus. Some of us are not taking and receiving what God has already done, and we're not saying anything. We're just not saying anything. We're not being bold and saying, no, no, I'm having that. I'm going to walk in all the blessings of God. My body will never be sick and diseased. It's already paid for.
Yes.
We're just a little bit too timid because it's taken centuries, hundreds of years, it's taken the church to get to the place where they don't question God about salvation. We don't question whether it's the will of God for me or you or anyone who comes to God through Christ to receive salvation. We don't question that. But when it comes to other provisions that are available, we're not sure. We're not sure. Because there's been a lot of teaching that has gone forth to corrupt that. And it's not been clear. So we need to, the New Living Translation says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and self-discipline. God's Word says, God didn't give us a cowardly spirit, but a spirit of power, love, and good judgment. The Good News Translation says, for the spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, His spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control. When somebody's in faith, they stand up, they take, they reach out, they receive, because they're sure. They're convinced. Now, faith is the substance of something hoped for. That faith is the evidence of things not seen. I don't see the money in my bank account, but I know it's God's will. I'm taking it. I don't see the physical healing in my body, but I know He bore my sins, carried my sicknesses, and I'm taking it. And I'm not sitting back quiet going, well, I hope so. I sure hope so. But you know, the doctor said there's no hope. I hope. I'm sure hoping. No, that's timidity. That's fear and timidity. And what does it say? The Bible says, perfect love casts out what? Fear. It casts it out. So when the love of God, which does what? Faith works by love. So when we have the love of God through the Word of God and faith comes into our heart, we're not going to stand back and not take and receive what God has already done. Amen? We should be a walking, living example of prosperity, health, wholeness, walking this earth. And if we're not there yet, because it's a process, if we're not there yet, you can be. You can be. I've said this before, and I will walk in this. Every one of you can be a millionaire. Now, I'm not trying to harp on riches, but every one of you can be a millionaire. God's not nervous with a million. But most of us can't get by the M. Million. They can't even say it because their mind can't see it. You can't see it. And some of you can't see yourself healed, and so you can't say it. It's no different. Some of you can't see your marriage as being prosperous because you're looking at it. You're talking about it. And you're seeing it and you're walking by sight instead of faith. And you're talking about it. Hey, we've all been there. I'm not here to throw stones. I'm here to say, look, all things are possible to them who believe. And we need to stand up and receive and begin to profess what God has promised through His Word and begin to pronounce it. Fear sits down on the floor. Faith stands up and takes it and receives it. See, I don't know about you, but it's time we stand up and go to another place in God. And some we've reached, and some of us have reached a place where we're comfortable in the Lord, but God wants us to stretch and reach some more. And that stretching is going to take us to feed on God's word and to profess his word and to begin to pronounce it and say it. I know in my life, you reach a certain place and God is saying, now I want you to go here. And sometimes those are adjustments. Sometimes we've thought a certain way and the Holy Ghost will say, no, what does my word say? What does my word say? And the word of God will cause our thinking to change. Isn't that what the Bible says? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that we can do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And if you look up that word transformed, it means, the Greek word is metamorpho-u. That's what it is, metamorphosis in our English language. And if you look in some translations, it means transfiguration. It means we are literally transfigured into something that's not there. It doesn't exist. We're transfigured by what? The Word of God. It's the power of God. And as we get that down in us, it'll transfigure us. You won't think the same. You won't believe the same. You won't walk the same. You'll be fearless. Fearless. Praise God. Well, let's start our lesson. Well, I have a few scriptures. Like I said, those scriptures were in my heart. I just felt I needed to get those out of my heart because I believe God had a reason for that. And if it wasn't for you, then feed on it anyways. Amen. Let's turn over to the book of Acts for a few minutes, and we'll pick up and continue on Wednesday. But we were looking at the ministry of Jesus, and I wanted to continue in the book of Acts. And the dispensation of the church, and begin to look at that looking at healing in the book of Acts. And I think it's important. Let's look at verse 1. I think it's important to look at that book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1. I'm sorry. Yeah, I said verse 1. Chapter 1. And verse 1. And it says, and this I'm going to read from the King James. It says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So it's important that if somebody comes to you and says, well, you know, healing was done away with after Jesus left this earth. Well, what does this say in verse 1? All of the things that he did what? All that Jesus what? Began to do. So it's not finished, is it? So we can see here that his ministry through the church is continuing. So we can see right in verse 1 here. It's a continuation of what Jesus began to do and to teach. And you can see, and of course, some of the other translations, the NIV says, in my former book. So this book is written by who? Luke. This book, the book of Acts, was written by Luke. And you can see here in this particular, the modern translations, it'll say, in my former book. That's the way it's written. Or, and it says in the King James, the former treatise. So, this was his first, I guess you could say, his first book or his first volume. So it says, I write about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And the good news says, Dear Theophilus, in my first book, I wrote about all the things that Jesus did and taught from the time he began his work. So you can see here that if we continue and we just look at chapter 2, and you begin to see here that this ministry, his ministry, when you look at chapter 2, and it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And what happened? And suddenly there came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we can see that after this, after the day of Pentecost, and those that received the Holy Ghost, you can see a marked difference in their ministries. They went out with boldness, and they laid hands on the sick, and they cast out demons, and they raised people from the dead. And you can walk through the book of Acts and see that. But this was a point here where the Holy Ghost came upon them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can begin to see here, look at chapter 3, and you can begin to see, look at Peter and John, chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour, at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered in to the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And of course, you know, they went into the temple leaping and walking, leaping and praising God. But I what's wonderful is you go down, look at verse 12. It said, and when Peter saw it, well, let me back up to verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people together ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, see, what did he say? He answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why looks ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? It wasn't our power. It wasn't our strength. See, they're going to say the same thing today. And what does this say here? The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof ye are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So it was the name and faith in the name. It wasn't them. That lame crippled man had what? Faith in the name. And it was the name that healed him. And it's no different today. These signs shall follow them that believe. We are to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You are to have faith when you lay hands on the sick, and they are to have faith to receive, just like they did during the ministry of Jesus. They had to have faith in him that they would receive. And if you look at Jesus' ministry, looking at it from the standpoint of healing, there were two things that you noticed most or primarily in the ministry of Jesus. He healed through speaking and touching. He spoke and he touched. Those two things. And that's no different today. You need to speak and you need to lay hands on the sick. Praise God. Let's look at chapter 5. And let's look at verse 14. It says, and I'll start reading in 12. And by the hands of who? The apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. So here you have an account. So healing didn't stop when Jesus left this earth. If you run into that, you can just go to these scriptures and say, well, how do you explain that? If healing stopped with the ministry of Jesus, he gave them a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and the signs would follow. And here they are. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst no man join him to them. But the people magnified them, and the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Now let's look at verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick, where? Into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing what? Sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and some of them were healed. That's all. And they were healed, everyone. Everyone was healed. I tell you, I'm desiring and looking to the day when they empty the sick from the hospitals and they bring them to either you or the church. And it's coming to pass. Because God is going to get the glory. Not medicine, and I'm not opposed to it, because I believe God has put things in this earth to help us. We're not to put our trust in it, but it can certainly help us. But there's coming a day, which is now, where the sick are going to be healed and the hospitals are going to be emptied and they're going to come running to the house of the Lord and to those who believe. Let's look at chapter 8. Chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Let's look at verse 5 through 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and did what? Preached Christ unto them. Philip was a disciple. He wasn't even one of the apostles, was he? So people who say, well, it all passed away with the apostles. What happened to Philip? They must have forgot about that verse. See here, Philip. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things. What did they do? They gave heed, that means they listened and they received, unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame, were healed, and there was great joy in that city. So you can see here, all that came to listen to Philip preach took heed to what he said. So they listened, just like in the ministry of Jesus. He preached and he taught in the synagogues and on the streets, and they listened and they heeded that. And they received. Same thing. And let's look at, we'll close here. One last verse here. There's more, a lot more. And let's look at Acts 14. And let's look at verse 3. This is talking about Paul and Barnabas. And it says here, starting in verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together, he's talking about Paul and Barnabas, into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude both of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. See, you need to watch what people say. Long time, look at verse 3. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So you can see here, healing, signs and wonders following those who believe, right here. Let's look at one last, let's look at Acts 20. I'm jumping ahead here, but let's look at Acts 20. Acts And let's look at starting in verse 9. Acts 20. Yeah. It says, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. Sounds like some of us. Fall into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, okay, he sunk down with sleep. And fell down from the third loft and was what? Taken up dead. Well, thank God you're on a pew. You're not in a loft. We don't have to be raising the dead. But look at what happened. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Hallelujah. And raised him up. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. They weren't in a hurry to go home. But you can see here, somebody falling asleep, even during that time of ministry of teaching the word, and he fell on him. That just means he laid on top of him. And the anointing power that was in Paul was transferred into that dead body and raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That same anointing, that same power is in you. The healer lives within you. The same anointing, the same dunamis power, which is what that scripture says in 2 Timothy. It says, for God's Spirit has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, which is dunamis power, and of love and a sound mind. He's given us that, and where is it? In you. But you've got to believe that. You've got to step out in faith. God's already done everything that he's going to do, and it's in you. We have to step out and act in faith, believing. Amen. He's waiting on us. Praise God. I think that's it for today. My spirit's released. And I believe there's some food that's gone forth to think about. Let's say that again. Nothing is impossible to me who believes. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. Nothing is impossible. That means personally, nothing is impossible. And nothing is impossible in your life. If God has called you to do something for him, nothing is impossible, even though it looks impossible. With man, things may be not possible, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. But it's to those who believe. And it's important that if we can find it in the scripture, then I can have faith for that, and I don't have to question the will of God. And if he's spoken something to you personally, then you can have faith for that, and faith to do that, and nothing will be impossible to you. Praise God. I'm going to close. If there's a question or two or something that you didn't understand, then we'll open up the floor. I'll answer it if I can. If not, we'll dismiss. Anybody? All right. Praise God. I expect great things to happen in our lives, in my life. Sometimes, as I'm closing, I'll just make this comment. Sometimes we believe God for something, whatever that something is, or that thing is, and we want to take a step from here, all the way from here, all the way to the back of the room. We want to take this big leap, and we're all excited. And when we don't see it, we're like, well, maybe, just maybe. I don't know, maybe it wasn't God's will. Maybe that was just me. But if you know it was God's will, then you take what? Little steps. You take steps to reach a goal, don't you? I believe the scripture talks about running this race, pressing towards the mark. It didn't say pressing with one big leap. We take steps, and we take a step, and we get a victory, and we take a step, and we get a victory, and we take a step, and we get a victory, and we take a step, and we get a victory. All the while, our faith is being built up and encouraged and strengthened, because when we try to take one big giant leap and then it doesn't work or doesn't come to pass, then what happens is it can affect you and it can affect your faith. So you want to take some steps as you're going along. Ask God, what should I do next? See, that's always good to check in and find out, okay, Lord, what should I do next? And He will stir you to reach out and to take something, to reach towards something, and then expect it to come to pass. When it does, okay, Lord, what's next? What should I believe for next? And it's important to do that. Take some steps towards that which God has shown you. And we'll get there. We'll get there. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for this word today. Thank you that that which we have heard, we will do. We will do it, and that which we see, we will do. We won't sit on it, because the seed that's planted needs to be watered. It needs to be acted upon. Because faith without works is dead. When we see something, faith is present at that point, Father. And faith, when present, needs to be acted upon. So that which we see, we commit to do. And Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the guidance of the Spirit of God. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.